Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be looking at something I know a lot of you out there listening probably deal with on a regular basis, the UK primary maths curriculum. We've got some really cool resources to help us dig into this. We've got the small step progression PDFs. We've got one for Key Stage 1, one for a lower Key Stage 2, and one for upper Key Stage 2. And then we've also got that all-important maths curriculum profile document.
Yeah, those are great resources.
Yeah, and what we really want to do today is try to like really break down how these things all kind of fit together, how those early skills that kids are learning in the younger years, how those build year after year, maybe where some of the tricky bits are, for kids. And then also like, what is it that this curriculum is really trying to achieve in the end?
It's like we get to kind of peek behind the curtain and see how it's all supposed to work together. You know, how children's understanding of maths is supposed to be built up. I think that can be really interesting and also illuminating.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's go all the way back to the beginning, Key Stage 1. So that's ages 5 to 7. And just looking at this progression guide here for KS1, it's amazing to me how much is packed into these first couple of years. It's not just like learning to count to 20.
No, you're absolutely right. I think some people would be surprised to look at this document and see just how much depth there is even in those first couple of years. Like, let's take an example. Number bonds to 10 and 20. Now, that seems simple, but that's something that like really underpins a kid's later understanding of addition and subtraction, even place value. It's like a building block that you see kind of echoed throughout the entire curriculum.
And then, I'm looking at this maths curriculum profile document, and it's mentioning the use of things like mnemonic and counters at this age. And I'm thinking that must be really important for helping those kids visualize,
Oh, absolutely. I mean, anytime you can give a kid a concrete thing to represent a kind of abstract idea, it's going to be really helpful for them. You know, it's the difference between just memorizing 2 + 3 = 5 and really understanding what's going on, what those quantities actually represent.
Yeah, and speaking of building toward bigger things, it's really interesting to see how early multiplication is introduced. Skip counting in twos, fives, and tens. Like you're already setting them up for times tables without even realizing it.
That's right.
Do you think that helps them to avoid some of the stress later on when they actually have to memorize the times tables?
I think it does because, you know, over time, kids are building up this familiarity with the patterns, and it becomes less about memorizing by rote and more about just recognizing things that they've already seen before. So, yeah, it's pretty clever how they weave that in throughout.
Okay, so let's move on. Let's talk about lower Key Stage 2. So that's years 3 and 4, ages 7 to 9. And this progression document for LKS2. Oh boy. Things are definitely
Ramping up.
ramping up in terms of complexity here.
You know, the value understanding the kids need is getting much, much bigger. Multiplication and division facts are really important at this stage. And this is where we start to see them introducing written methods for calculation. So it's a pretty significant leap from all of those manipulatives that they were using back in KS1.
Yeah, and it's not just numbers getting bigger, but like you're introducing things like perimeter and area. I remember those being pretty big concepts to me as a kid. And then fractions and decimals are also getting more intricate. It seems like there's a lot to juggle at this age.
Yeah, there is. But if you look closely, you'll see how they are constantly sort of looping back to those earlier concepts. It's not just like you learn something once and you're expected to remember it forever. There's a real kind of spiraling approach here.
It's really intentional.
Very much so.
Yeah, and actually, this is something that the maths curriculum profile talks about explicitly, is this idea of repeated exposure to concepts, building on, prior knowledge.
It's like building a house. You wouldn't try to build a roof before you built a good solid foundation. And the same thing is true here. Those KS1 concepts, they're being reinforced as students are tackling those more complex challenges in LKS2.
And speaking of revisiting things, remember Roman numerals?
Oh, yeah.
They come back again in year 4 after being introduced in year 3.
That's right.
It's like a little inside joke for anybody who's paying attention.
Yeah, I think those little moments can actually be helpful for kids because it kind of breaks up the routine a little bit. And it reminds them that even those concepts that seem kind of obscure, can come back in unexpected ways.
Yeah.
And they might need them later on.
Absolutely. All right. So we've laid some groundwork here. We've talked about KS1. We've talked about LTS2.
Right.
Now get ready, because we're about to enter the upper echelons of primary maths, upper key stage 2, years 5 and 6,
yeah.
ages 9 to 11.
Right.
And I'm just glancing at this UKS2 small step progression document.
Yeah.
And I'm already feeling a little intimidated.
I can see why. It's a pretty big jump. I mean, we're talking about numbers up to 10 million, negative numbers, powers of 10, long division, multi-step problem solving. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's definitely where all of those foundational skills that we were just talking about
right.
really get put to the test.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, can you imagine trying to do long division without a solid grasp of your times tables?
Yep. No way.
Or place value?
No. It's all connected.
Yeah. And this curriculum does not shy away from complexity.
It does not.
Okay.
But you know what's interesting to me is that the focus kind of shifts a little bit in upper key stage 2.
Okay.
When you look at that maths curriculum profile, it really starts to emphasize this idea of articulation, generalization, really making sense of the solution.
So it's not just about getting the right answer anymore.
Right. It's more about being able to explain your reasoning. Like, how did you get there? Why did you choose that method?
Interesting.
That kind of thing. And those are really important skills, not just for math, you know, as kids move on into secondary school, but for thinking in general.
Yeah, absolutely. There's something in this UKS2 document that caught my eye. It says that students often struggle with comparing and ordering fractions with mixed denominators.
Oh, yeah.
That's something that even adults have trouble with sometimes, right?
Absolutely. That one trips a lot of people up.
Yeah.
Because you really need to have a good understanding of equivalence and how fractions relate to one another.
Right.
It's not just about memorizing a procedure. You really have to make sense of it.
Yeah. So how can we help kids navigate those really tricky areas? It seems like even with a solid foundation from the earlier years, there are still going to be those hurdles that come up.
Well, the curriculum recognizes that. And if you look at the maths curriculum profile, again, it talks about the importance of having those support systems in place.
Mm-hmm.
So there are regular assessments. They use things like PUMA tests to monitor progress and see, you know, which students might need a little bit of extra support in certain areas.
Uh-huh.
It's really about making sure that everybody's keeping up and that no one gets left behind.
That's good to hear. It's a reminder that learning is a journey and there are going to be bumps along the way. And it's okay to ask for help when you need it.
Exactly.
But I don't want to dwell on the challenges too much here. Let's take a step back and think about everything that we've discussed so far. From those early building blocks in KS1 to all the way through to the complexity of UKS2, what do you think is the most impactful aspect of this curriculum?
That's a good question. I think for me, what stands out is that it's very intentional about building a deep understanding.
Right.
It's not about just memorizing things or racing through a bunch of concepts. Mm-hmm. It's really about giving students the time and the tools that they need to really internalize those fundamental ideas.
I think that's a really powerful takeaway. And it makes me wonder, how does this very structured, progressive approach compare to your own experience learning maths? Were there any, like, aha moments for you as you were looking through these documents?
You know, there were. Seeing how much they emphasize those early building blocks, you know, things like number bonds and skip counting, it made me realize how much those things actually set me up for success later on when I was learning more complicated topics. It's almost like connecting the dots backwards.
I had a very similar realization. It made me think, oh, that's why I struggled with that concept, you know?
Yeah.
Because maybe those foundational pieces weren't quite as strong as they could have been.
Right.
It just made me appreciate how much thought has gone into this curriculum.
Yeah, it's really quite impressive. And I think that appreciation is really important for anyone who's helping a child to learn math. Because when you understand the why behind what's being taught, it can help you to be a better guide.
Yeah.
And a better source of support and encouragement.
So let's shift gears a little bit and think about how all of this can be applied in some practical ways. Now that we have this deeper understanding of the curriculum, how can we use it to actually help children develop a love of math? Not a fear of it. I mean, that's the question, isn't it? How do we make math something that kids are excited about instead of something that they're afraid of?
Well, I think it starts with us. You know, like if we as adults are approaching math as this like scary thing or like a series of hurdles that have to be overcome, then kids are going to pick up on that.
Right.
But if we can show them that math is fun and interesting, then they're more likely to feel that way too.
So instead of drilling them with times tables over and over and over again,
right,
maybe we can encourage them to look for patterns.
Yeah, like let them use those manipulatives we were talking about to actually see what multiplication looks like. And even if they get the right answer, but they do it in a way that we didn't expect, you know, encourage that.
Yeah.
Let them explain how they got there.
And I think that goes back to what that math curriculum profile document was saying about articulation.
Yeah.
Helping kids to find the words to explain what's happening in their brains when they're doing math.
Exactly. And, you know, it doesn't have to be all worksheets and textbooks.
Right.
Look for math in everyday life. Like when you're cooking with your kids.
Yeah.
Baking.
Baking. That's a great way to talk about fractions and ratios.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you're building a Lego tower, you can talk about shapes and geometry.
Right. It's about making it relevant to their lives, mm-hmm. not just this thing that happens in school.
Exactly. And of course, there are going to be times when kids struggle.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But, you know, you remember what we were saying about the support systems?
Right.
If a kid's getting stuck on a concept, don't let them just sit there and spin their wheels.
Right. Step back. Take a break.
Yeah. Try a different approach.
Yeah. Maybe go back to those manipulatives. Or, you know, think of a real-world example that might help to illustrate the concept.
Right. And above all, just try to keep it positive.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrate those moments when they finally get it.
Those aha moments.
Those aha moments. That's what makes it all worthwhile.
You know, it's interesting. As we've been talking, I've been thinking about the bigger picture here. We've talked about how this curriculum can give kids this really solid foundation in math.
Mm-hmm.
But the world is changing so fast. You know, technology is evolving at this crazy pace.
Right.
And it makes you wonder, how does this prepare them for the future? You know, where things like data analysis and coding and problem solving are going to be so important.
That's a good question. And I think it's a question that we all need to be thinking about. Parents, educators, anyone who works with kids.
Right.
How do we help them not just to learn this stuff, but to really learn how to learn?
Right, so they can be adaptable and face those challenges.
Exactly, because the jobs of the future might not even exist yet.
Yeah, it's really about giving them the tools and that mindset to be lifelong learners.
Oh, love that, lifelong learners.
To not be afraid of the unknown,
mm-hmm.
to embrace those challenges. I think that's a really powerful note to end on.
It is.
And, you know, it reminds me that education isn't just about, you know, filling their heads with information.
Right.
It's about lighting that fire.
Yeah, inspiring them.
Inspiring them, that curiosity, that wonder, you know, those are the things that are really going to help them to succeed. So as you're going through this journey with the young learners in your life, remember to encourage those questions.
Absolutely.
You know, celebrate those aha moments. And most importantly, help them to see that math isn't the scary chore. It's actually the key that can unlock so many possibilities.
Well said. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, that brings us to the end of another deep dive.
Yeah.
And I hope that this one has given you all a new perspective on the UK primary maths curriculum. How all of those building blocks from the early years really do set kids up for a lifetime of learning and exploration. You know, it's not just about the destination, it's about the journey too.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.